Do you know when you were baptized? Do you remember where you were baptized or who it was that baptized you? When I was born, my parents in Chicago, my parents scheduled my baptism, but my mom's father in Puerto Rico became very ill. She went back to Puerto Rico. They had to postpone the baptism, and he ended up literally dying in her arms, asking to see me. Because of the 27 grandchildren that we are from him, I was the only grandchild alive, at that point only 3 months old, whom he had not met or seen. And so he literally died in my mom's arms, asking, you know, where is Eric? Can you bring Eric? It was a very memorable moment for my mom, of course. And so several months later, my mom decided to bring me to Puerto Rico and have me baptized there. So I was born and raised in this country, but I joke and tell people my soul is Puerto Rican. And in fact, the church where I was baptized is the same name of the church where I became pastor for the first time, Sacred Heart. And the priest who baptized me, Father Paulino, only died just 2 years ago. I celebrated Mass with him 3 years ago. He was in his 90s. And that was the priest who baptized me. And now we're priests together celebrating Mass. And while I was in Puerto Rico, I attended Sacred Heart Catholic Church. And it's always very meaningful to me because that was the church of my baptism. That's where my life in Christ began. That's the place where I literally was adopted as God's son. That was the place where literally my pilgrimage toward heaven began. And so the church is very meaningful for me, and I always make it a point to attend Mass there when I'm in Puerto Rico, as well as visiting my father's tomb, who chose to be buried there, even though he's from the States. Where were you baptized? Who baptized you? Do you remember the date or the place or the name of the priest or deacon or bishop who baptized you? It's significant because that's the beginning of our life as a Christian. No one is God's son or daughter by nature except Jesus Christ. I know we like to loosely talk about God as Father, but frankly, based on our faith, scriptures, and tradition, we are literally not sons and daughters of God unless we have been baptized. Christ alone is the Son of God by nature, true God and true man. We are not divine. We're not God's children by nature, right? Just like I'm only my mom and dad's child by nature. No one else's, even though they might call me son or something. And so through baptism, we become adopted as God's children. That's where our life of grace begins. The baptismal font, if you will, is the womb of Holy Mother Church, from which every Christian is born through water and the Holy Spirit. And that's the womb of Sacred Heart right there behind you, the baptismal font. And when we baptize, we traditionally use a shell. The shell has always been a symbol of pilgrimage, and that's very significant. If you've ever seen the image of St. James, the apostle, you know, whose bones are in Santiago de Compostela in Spain, he always has a shell. You even have the Divino Niño de Atocha. He has a shell on the statue there, that Christ child, around 12 years old, dressed at the time of the day as young men would be dressed, or children. And the shell symbolizes what pilgrims use to drink water from the stream as they walk from their home to a sacred holy place, or when they beg for money to afford to be able to travel with it, or they would eat with it. And so it's this sign and symbol. They would wear it to let people know, I'm in a prayerful pilgrimage to a holy place. Do not hold me back. Do not detain me. Do not talk to me. Let me pray. I'm on my way to this holy place. Well, we baptize children with that same shell to symbolize the fact that from that moment on, we all begin a pilgrimage that does not end until we get to heaven. Wars, illness, tragedies, violence, natural disasters remind us that earth is not our home. God did not make us for this life, but for the next. But in order to have hope for that, we must be baptized. In today's gospel from Matthew specifically, we have an account of the baptism of Jesus that is different from Mark and Luke. John doesn't have the baptismal account, but it talks about his baptism. But in Mark and Luke, there's something missing that we find in Matthew. It sets Matthew apart, and it's specifically these words. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me? Jesus said to him in reply, allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And Then he allowed him. That passage is not in Mark, it's not in Luke. It just simply says, Jesus went to the Jordan River and was baptized by John, period. This is significant. Why would Jesus have a sinner who's not God baptize him? Except to sanctify the role of the person who baptizes and to sanctify the waters of the Jordan River. Remember, the Jordan River is what separated Moses from ever entering the Holy Land. Because of Moses' sin, God would not let him pass into and through the Jordan River into the Promised Land. He was buried on the other side. The Jordan River symbolized the difference between wilderness, sin, death, slavery, and the Promised Land, just as the Red Sea did. The Red Sea that God separated and parted through Moses as his minister, his leader, would allow the Israelites to leave the slavery of Egypt, literally, and get into the desert to make it to the Holy Land. But because of their sins, they wandered there until a whole generation died in the desert. And their next generation, because they created this golden calf and worshiped it, the next generation would then be allowed to enter the Promised Land through the Jordan River. These rivers symbolizes wilderness, sin, death, chaos, and Promised Land, and life, and blessing, and opportunity, and prosperity. And so the Jordan River continues to be that, and it was certainly in Jesus' time. By choosing to be baptized there, now the Jordan River becomes a means of grace entering into God's home and his family, and not something that separates us from God. He sanctifies the waters, and he chooses a sinner who's not God to baptize him. He didn't need it, obviously, but John did, and you and I do. God continues to use sinners to baptize you. You're not literally Jesus, but he chooses to use deacons and priests and bishops, sinners that we are, to be the instrument of your birth into God's family. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. These words are significant. Certainly they must have been for Jesus to hear that from the Father, but it was meant for everyone to hear that, to know who he is, and to know who we are by virtue of our baptism. Many of us come from families that are not perfect. They're often broken. We're fatherless, or we're motherless, or we don't have our parents at all. They've passed away, or we're separated from them because they live across the border, and we can't get there and come back because of our current immigration laws or your current status. Maybe we come from a divorced family. Many of us come from families that are not whole, nothing like the family of God, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or as we celebrated recently, the Holy Family of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. And we tend to often see ourselves in light of that brokenness that we come from, the brokenness of our families. Kids can often blame themselves for their parents' divorce, even though they had nothing to do with it, but they are yet the greatest victims of our broken families and circumstances. And we can often look down upon ourselves because, well, my parent isn't rich or famous or powerful or important, and so I'm the same or less than even still. And we tend to look at ourselves based on the car we drive or how we look physically or the home we come from or how much money we have or who we know. And if it's not high up there, then are we really worth anything? And this mentality and mindset is really common among us, sadly. But the scriptures remind us that who we are is ultimately rooted in who our parents are, and that's true. But it's not the man and woman who came together to conceive you. It's God the Father. I think of St. Francis of Assisi as an example. His father was very wealthy, and Francis, after his conversion, wanted to be poor and follow Christ in a radical way. And so he gave away all of his father's things, even the clothes on his back, literally, stripping himself down naked in front of everyone, so the bishop had to cover him with his cope, to say, God is my father, no one else, above no one else, God alone is my father. He wasn't rejecting his dad, he was choosing God the Father over his earthly father, which we all must do and recognize that God is more father to us than I am to you or your biological father is to you. And so in making that proclamation, Francis would then live from the generosity and beauty and love and wealth and providence of God the Father, no longer the money and wealth and power of his earthly father. He knew that God the Father, there's no one wealthier and more powerful. He knows that Mary, there's no woman, no mother, more queenly, more perfect, more wealthy, more powerful than Mary. There's no greater brother to have than Jesus. And from that moment on, Francis entered into the family of God in a radical way. He was never ordained a priest and only ordained a deacon later in his life, to live in the family of God by virtue of his baptism. It's all about our baptism. Who you are, who I am, ultimately is not based on who your biological father or mother or brother or sister is or are. It's based on the fact that God is your father. And on the day of your baptism, he spoke these words, "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased." It's an unconditional love. There's nothing a child has to do to be baptized. The requirements are for the parents and the godparents, not the child. Baptism is a gift. It's unconditional. And by that, we become God's sons and daughters. We enter into the family of God. And even if we're homeless, even if we're living out of our car, every Catholic church is your home. Every Catholic community is your family. And you're never alone, even as an orphan, even as a widow, even as unhoused or homeless, whatever your life circumstances may be. When I studied in Europe for a short time and traveled around, I went to Catholic churches everywhere, and I refused to pay because I told them, "I'm Catholic. This is my home. I'm coming for Mass." "All right, well, afterwards you have to leave." It was the only way they could afford to keep the churches up, by getting tourists to pay money to go in and take pictures. But I'm not here to take pictures. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I may not speak the language, right? I may not be from this country, but this is a Catholic church, and so I'm home, and this is my family, and I'm here to pray. And that's true no matter where we are or wherever we go. You are God's beloved son. You are his beloved daughter. He is your father. Christ is your brother. Mary is your mother. And he is pleased in you, not because you have to earn it, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. And so there's no greater way to celebrate the Christmas, the birth of Christ, to conclude the season, than to recall the baptism of Jesus and to recall our own. How incredible God is that I would be baptized at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, and that in his providence, one day I would become pastor for the first time at Sacred Heart Catholic Church. Different country, so to speak, different location, different language, different people, but one church, one faith, one hope, one God and Father of us all, because of the baptism we share as his sons and daughters.